It's getting late. I appreciate the attention that you are all paying to this subject. My name is Bob Baker. I live in Columbia, New Hampshire. I've been a resident there for the last 8 years, and this was my year to retire. I practiced law in Connecticut for many years. I was actually born in Canada, learned to play hockey in Montreal. Went to a Quaker college in Pennsylvania and graduated from the University of Connecticut Law School. That was a few years back. On a recent trip up north, I met two wonderful ladies from East Hereford, Quebec. And they gave me this bag. This bag's on sale in the mall in Sherbrooke, just south of Windsor, where the converter stations would be built that would change the alternating current to direct current, that would be put into the Northern Pass line, and that would then come down through New Hampshire as a very, very large extension cord for southern New England. There are actually people in Quebec, many, many of them, who are opposed to this project. And it's not just because the towers will be built over their land. Peter just referred to the devastation of the environment in Quebec that's been caused. The Romaine project in Quebec that's being built out now, and that would provide, we believe, in the future, much of the power, the excess power that Quebec would sell into the United States, is actually costing Hydro-Quebec about as much as they can sell that power today out of state. What they're counting on, and it's probably pretty good calculation, is that the price of power will go up. Right now, power is fairly cheap because gas is plentiful. How long will that continue? We can project 4 or 5 years probably reasonably, but on into the 10 and 15 and 20 year periods out, Hydro-Quebec's calculations, according to Jim Danis, you've heard a bit about Jim, show that they'll make $1 billion a year in the future on this power line. I don't know. I can't verify that that's correct, and probably no one can. But if you believe the PS&H numbers that they've testified to as to what power we'll be selling for in 2019, 2020, 2021, you can get to that $1 billion a year in profit. What will Northeast Utilities and its partner NSTAR get for cooperating with Hydro-Quebec? Over $60 million a year in their pocket profit. They're going to put up 50% of the equity of the cost of building the line, according to filings that they have made with FERC. They're going to get, according to the transmission services agreement that FERC has approved, a 12.5% return on equity. Who is paying for the line? I think that you heard earlier this evening. Hydro-Quebec is paying for 100% of the line, first by providing a construction financing vehicle for the other half of the cost of the line, and secondly, by agreeing to pay for this transmission service into the pockets of Northeast Utilities and NSTAR, enough money per year for them to get paid back all of their equity investment of $500 million and the 12.5% return on equity. As you've heard, Hydro-Quebec is the province of Quebec. It's a crown corporation. It's owned by the province. The province issues bonds through Hydro-Quebec. What's the payback on a AAA-rated bond? 5, 5.5, 6%, maybe 6.5. 12.5% is at least double that. So why is Hydro-Quebec letting them have all this money? The answer is simple. You can't build a power line through New Hampshire. You can't put this extension cord through unless you have the threat of eminent domain. Canada does not have the power to take land in New Hampshire, nor does the province of Quebec, nor does Hydro-Quebec. Theoretically, under Article 15A of the New Hampshire Constitution, no private entity should have the power to take private property by eminent domain for private profit. This venture, this extension cord, is going to make Northern Pass a lot of money. It's going to make Hydro-Quebec, they hope, a lot of money. It's going to provide power at market rates into the United States. Market rates signify profit for them, but there's no determination at this point that this project is needed for grid reliability, stability, or any demonstrated need at this point. I'm not saying that in the future, if certain things happen and if demand increases and we don't conserve and the nuclear power industry goes out of business or we have another Three Mile Island disaster down in Seabrook or whatever it is, that it might not happen. But right now, there's no demonstration of need. So what does Article 15A, what does our New Hampshire Constitution mean to us if this were permitted to be built? Well, unfortunately, the law in New Hampshire allows the Public Utilities Commission to hear any petition by a public utility that wants to build a transmission line, and all that they have to show is that this transmission line is, and I'll use the words of the statute, necessary. And then the Public Utilities Commission simply in a condemnation proceedings determines the value of the interest in the land that is taken. Those are the two things that happen. Will mentioned the House bill that passed the legislative house overwhelmingly. I think it was 84-85% of the vote. That bill is designed to try to fix a hole in the statute, the statute being Revised Statute Annotated 371. That bill essentially says that the power of eminent domain cannot be used for transmission lines where there is no demonstration of need for the system reliability. It may not stop this project from being built. Hydro-Quebec has a lot of money, so does Northeast Utilities, so does NSTAR. They can try to buy their way through the state. I think it's still a bad idea and it shouldn't be permitted. But at least this bill, if it passes the Senate and gets the governor's signature, and those are two big ifs, would slow them down and take away the leverage, the hammer of the threat of eminent domain against the landowners where new land is needed. And new land is needed not just in the North Country where they have the new, brand new right-of-way that would devastate the landscape there, but it may be needed in a number of corridors as you come down the state where they have to widen the right-of-way, or where the existing language of the easements, and we're just starting to look at this now, may not permit a second line. I don't know that that will turn out to be the case, but the language of the easements varies depending on the time and the purpose and the use at the time. So The threat of eminent domain may be important in those areas as well, not just for the widening, but for the expansion of use. Also, there is a section of this project to the east of Concord going through, is it Chichester? Am I pronouncing that correctly? You can tell I'm from Connecticut. About 12 miles might have to be built, brand new right-of-way, 10 to 12 miles, if the FAA does not give them a permit to put towers next to the Concord Airport. So that's also a problem. And, of course, all up and down the line, even in existing rights-of-way, we're going to be doubling the height of most of the structures in the rights-of-way. Certainly, they're going to be impacted visually and dramatically. But the threat of eminent domain is something that Hydro-Quebec absolutely has to have to make this thing happen quickly, without too much pain, without too much payment. And having that threat is very important, especially with the people up in the North Country who are getting mailings, knocks on the door, telephone calls, and now daily or weekly helicopter flyovers. Imagine a helicopter coming over your house at 9 in the morning, 700 feet above, just after you've gotten a call from someone who says, I'm your friendly local land agent, I work for Northern Pass, I'd like to talk to you because I want to show you where the power line's going to go across your land. They don't have a permit yet. They don't have any right to make that statement or claim, but they're making it. What else are they doing? They're sending letters to people who don't want to talk to them. And the letters are saying, gee, we're sorry you don't want to talk to us, but we wanted you to know why we need to get these agreements signed so that we can get the scientists from the Department of Energy onto your land. Sounds harmless, right? Department of Energy, scientists, that'd be great. The only problem is there aren't any scientists from the Department of Energy. The Department of Energy will hire a consultant to do some environmental impact studies. That's going to happen now. But when these letters were coming out, the only consultant that was ever going to go on that land was owned lock, stock, and barrel by Northern Pass. It was their consultant. The one that they were paying, the one that they had paid earlier to do environmental impact studies on rights of way, the ones that they had paid to do other work for them. Fortunately, the Department of Energy has decided that there might be a conflict of interest there, at least the appearance of it, so that is not going to happen now, and we're still waiting for a new environmental consultant to be identified. But anyway, this wonderful letter comes, and it says we'd like to show you in this package how we, you know, the scientists from the Department of Energy are going to want to look at your land to check out the wildlife and maybe do a little surveying. The fact is that the only agreement, there is an agreement in the package that the landowner is asked to sign. That agreement says very clearly for the next 3 years, for the whopping sum of $400, you're going to give us the right to have our consultants on, our consultants and our contractors come on your land to do surveys. Now, our, under the agreement, is Northern Pass. It has nothing to do with the government. So that's one little instance of how the English language can be smudged by folks who have a mission, a goal to make money. And a lot of people initially thought maybe they should sign these agreements, and some in fact have. But I have to tell you, in the North Country, there's an awful lot, and I can't tell you the percentage yet, who have declined to sign these right of entry agreements. They don't want this project, and they have made a decision that they're not going to cooperate in any way. And thus, now we have the helicopter flyovers. The helicopters are using very sophisticated data imagery and other things to help locate places where towers might be built, where the power line can go, but at least the folks in the North Country today are arming themselves and equipping themselves and banding together and saying, this isn't just me anymore. This isn't just me being terrorized. This is my whole community. This is my life. This is where I grew up, and I don't want to have to live with this project. So we got a lot of that going on. And I have to say, I was asked by a reporter about 3 weeks ago, gee, how is it that this opposition group got so well organized, and you've really done a great job of making the state aware of what's going on? And I said, you give credit to the organizers who really, they've just gone out and told what they believe to be the truth. But this thing, this project, spoke for itself. People got the literature, they read it, they God bless them, they went to the government sites and started reading about what this was all about, and they realized that this is going to be a very, very bad thing, not just for us, but for our state and our neighbors. So I said this was a spontaneous uprising in response to a harebrained project. So I will stand by that. That's what this is, and that's how we've come together. Part of it was printed, part of it was on a radio broadcast. Yeah. But in any event, I think that's what explains what brought us here. I'm just so happy and pleased that you all came. Now, I've done a lot of reading. I'm not an energy lawyer. I'm not an expert in power lines by any means, but I've done a lot of reading. So I've read the transmission service agreement. I know where you can find things on the FERC and the Department of Energy website, and other things. I can answer any questions you have, and it's getting late. So I'm going to just turn this over to you for a few questions if you want at this point, and do the best I can to answer them. Yes.
Can you maybe discuss, sort of prioritize what are the best ways for people to express their opposition and concern?
Okay. Yeah, I think it really depends on your appetite and how much energy and time you have to devote to it. I was fortunate, being in a semi-retirement state, that I could turn over some serious time to it. Others will have many other personal projects or jobs or other things that take away. But the most important thing, I think, this would be my way to prioritize it, is there's 24 senators in the state of New Hampshire. House Bill 648 is going to come before them. There'll be a committee hearing, and then, assuming it gets through the committee, it'll go to the floor. You can go on the State of New Hampshire General Court website. The General Court is our legislature, as many of you know. And you can get the names of the members of the... Will, what's the committee? Is it the...
We don't know.
Right. There's only 24, so I would say write them all and just say we support House Bill 648 and we hope you will too. And you can give some reasons, or you can make it short and just say that's what I want you to do, especially your own senators. That's where, they're going to look at the address. Where's this coming from? The second thing that you can do is pen. Don't email, pen. A letter to our good governor. He is still under the illusion that the state of New Hampshire wants this thing. I don't know where he is getting that information, but he needs to have a better understanding, repeat performance from, especially from areas like this, that are a little bit off the line. You may or may not be impacted by the time they're done, because they're studying routes all over the state as we speak. But it would be very helpful to have something go to Governor Lynch. Your Washington delegation, Senator Ayotte, Senator Shaheen, Representative Bass, and who is our other representative? Ginta, yeah, that's, he's from the other district. I'm in Charlie's district. They have become active. We're getting some support now, some opposition. Thank them for their intervention with the Department of Energy. Tell them that you hope they will continue to carefully monitor the process, and you would really, really like it if they would come out in direct opposition to the project. This isn't a priority, but it's a blessing in a way. Send an email, a letter, or a phone call to Ray Burton. Ray Burton was the first brave politician in the state to say, this is a bad idea. He has maintained that, and he has started to carry people with him. But you have to thank him, because that's what's going to give him energy to keep going. The Department of Energy website, for those of you taking notes, www.northernpasseis.us. If you go to that website, there is a form that you can fill out for a comment on scoping. What does the Department of Energy want to know? They want to know what your ideas are that they need to study to determine which is the best alternative. All of my filings on behalf of myself and others have told the Department of Energy that we believe, based on a host of things that we've talked about tonight, that the no-build option is the very best one that we've got. And that should be your determination. But to get there, you might want to look at, and then we itemize the things that are important to us. In my neighborhood, I talk about impact on small business, impact that it will have on tree farms, the impact that it will have on the amenity county. COAS is our poor amenity county, in a sense, because people like me from Connecticut retire there. They won't do that on available building lots within sight of the land, within sight of the towers. So that has something that has to be studied. How do you measure that economic impact? Well, one of the things you could do is you could go into a town like Columbia. We got 400 residents. We got more moose than voters. You can go into a town like that and figure out how many of these building sites, these prime building sites, are going to become vacant or not built on. And then you can measure, what's the economic impact? What's that going to do to the town's tax base? There are other ways of doing that. So those are the priorities I would have. Yes?
According to some of the maps I've seen, it looks as if one of their preferred lines would go right through my property up in Beth, New Hampshire. And I'm wondering if, in writing to the various officials you've mentioned, would it be better to mention this or not to? Will it look as if I'm just a not in my backyard kind of person?
Well, first of all, we're reclaiming the label NIMBY. We love it. But we spell it differently. Not in my backyard. We spell it differently. NHIMBY. New Hampshire is my backyard. So don't worry about that. I would tell them exactly your situation and what it does to you. And I mean, these are emotional issues too. I mean, and that has an impact. There is a medical component to this. I cried. I literally cried for a week. I lay in bed. I felt, oh, poor me. Oh, my God, this is terrible. They're going to ruin my retirement. Well, no, they're not. No, they're not. This adversity is opportunity. And if we fight, and we fight together, we can beat it. And that's the message that I decided had to be told. And I have to tell you, so many others are telling it, it's caught on fire. And the state recognizes it. Certainly the House of Representatives recognized it. And we have a great deal of power if we all move together.